Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Her Journey Told podcast. On this show, we will focus on strengthening women's mental fitness through sharing the joy, struggle, and wisdom of each woman's journey. Our show is powered by Pivotal Moments. Go to pivotalmoments.org to learn more. Hello, and welcome to the Her Journey Told podcast. This podcast is powered by Pivotal Moments Media. I'm your host, Sandy Lutton, and I'm super excited to be joined today by Stacey Case. Stacey is an award-winning TV journalist. And when I mean award-winning, like multiple Emmys, super excited to have her here. Not only that, but she's an amazing mom, an amazing person. I've had the pleasure of meeting Stacey live and in person, which is rare these days, but it's been awesome. And it's just been so great getting to know you and learning about your story. And I couldn't wait to get you on the podcast today to talk about your story and kind of your journey and what you've been through. And the other title I wanted to save, kind of savor, because I think this is such an important title, is you're an advocate, and specifically in health advocate. And I wanted to read a quote that you said, and for you and being in news and the reason why you did it all came down to, and this is your quote, "It's one thing to cover a story. It's another to offer solutions, to right a wrong, to be a voice for those who routinely go unheard. I am honored to be the conduit." And I love that so much. I had to read that, and because when I saw that, and I was like, that is so powerful. And it's so important because it takes courage to stand up and say, wait, this is wrong. And I think a lot of us go through many moments in our lives and say, oh no, what do I do in this moment? And it takes a lot to be able to stand up and do that. And Stacey, you've done so many amazing things, and you've covered so many incredible stories, some of the biggest news of our time, 9/11, the terrorist attacks. You've been involved in, you know, didn't you interview the Pope and things like that? I mean, you've done some amazing things.
I didn't interview him.
Covered it. Okay. But still, I mean, you've covered some amazing stories, but, and the reason why I say it like that is because going back to your own story and standing up and being an advocate for your own health has been a major role you've had to play in your life, whether you wanted to or not. And I think a lot of us don't know where to go when it comes to healthcare. And I know there are many people out there who cover this and talk about advocating for yourself and the need to do so, but you're a perfect example of that. If you don't mind, kind of tell us, take us back a little bit. I mean, you've had this amazing, successful news career, which we're going to get into where you're going from this point on, because you're also in a transition phase, but help us understand kind of where it all started and then how you had to become your own health advocate.
Well, first of all, Sandy, thank you for having me. I don't really know how I can live up to all of the accolades you just bestowed upon me. I don't know where you read
you
all
that. You already have. You already have.
Seriously, thank you for having me. You know, it was just one of those things out of the blue. It was about probably 14, 15 years ago. And I had just left CBS News as a national correspondent, full-time. It was a full-time travel job. And we had two little babies. Mm-hmm. And we had relocated here to Nashville. And my husband had left television sports and was starting his own business as a wealth manager. And I was freelancing for CBS and doing some other freelancing stuff, and was getting a production company off the ground to try to get us through this transition while he built a business. And all of the sudden, I started having some neurological symptoms. Mm. And I remember specifically, I had this production company, and I was doing some shows for the Do-It-Yourself Network and HGTV. And I was on a flight to DC, actually, to interview a contractor there. And I remember my head hurting so bad. And I'm not someone who is prone to migraines. I'm not someone who really gets headaches, but it was this deep, deep, deep hurt within my brain. It felt like somebody was taking an ice pick and just stabbing my brain. And I remember thinking, I don't know how I'm going to get through this shoot. I mean, I'm contracted to carry this out and I've got to get this done, but my head hurts. Leading up to all of that, there had been some subtle things going on neurologically. I had the feeling of pinpricks, like just little pinpricks in my head up and down my arms, a feeling of cold water rushing down the back of my head and there's no water. Feeling of someone touching my head, just placing a hand on my head. There's nobody touching me. Some blurred vision, some ringing in my ears, things like that. I've been back and forth to the doctor about three or four times during maybe a 6 month time period, probably 4 month time period. And, you know, at the time the doctor said, well, you know, you do have sinus issues. You really need a sinus surgery, or, you know, you're a young mom and you're stressed and your kids are little. I think it's stress. You know, you just left, a job and you're in a transition phase. Maybe it's that, you know, so I kept just going, okay, yeah, that's fine. You're right. It's fine. It's all in my head. Well, it was in my head. It was actually in my teeth. I had had some dental work done and I had the silver fillings, and they are called silver amalgam. Well, what is in that amalgam is actually 50% mercury. And I just had one replaced because it was hurting. My tooth was hurting. And the dentist talked me into replacing all on one side of my mouth. And when it came time to get the new material in, the dentist said, well, what do you want? And I said, well, what do you mean? And he said, well, now they make these white ones. They're called composite. Do you want that? Or do you want the silver one? Because insurance covers the silver. And I said, well, I'll just take the silver. I mean, that's what insurance covers. And, you know, it's worked for me for a long time. So I got those in. I got four new bright, shiny silver fillings. And that tracing back is when all of the neurological symptoms began. The symptoms progressed until one morning I woke up and I couldn't walk. I got out of bed and I was weaving like this. It scared me. I mean, it scared me to death.
I can't imagine. It must have been horrifying.
Yeah, it was horrifying. My husband had already left to go to work. I was here with the kids. I called him. I said, I can't walk. And so we went straight back to the doctor and she said, yeah, well, you know, you either have a brain tumor or MS. And so that was sort of the turning point for me. I ended up being ultimately diagnosed with MS. Since then, I've been undiagnosed from MS, thankfully. But it's been a long, long road of detoxifying and clearing my body of heavy metals. What I actually had was what's known as heavy metal toxicity. And those silver fillings, they emit mercury vapor for the life of the filling. So every time you drink coffee, it emits, or anything warm, liquid, anytime you eat hot food and chew gum, anything, it emits this mercury vapor. You're inhaling it and you are basically storing it within your tissues and in your central nervous system. Now, I do want to say that I'm genetically predisposed to this. I, you know, my biochemistry is such that I don't offload heavy metals and mercury easily. And some people do. And so, you know, some people may say, well, why isn't every single person who has silver fillings diagnosed with MS or ALS or Alzheimer's? Because we're all different. We're all genetically different. So thankful to be healthy today, but it's been a long road for sure.
It's just like a lot of people smoke, but not everyone gets lung cancer, right? Yeah. I mean, it's the same thing.
Yes. My father-in-law is 78 and he smoked his entire life and he's fine. My grandmother lived to be 88 and smoked her entire life. My other grandmother smoked for only about 20 years and she died at 58. So yes, exactly. That's a great comparison. Yeah. Great example. Yeah.
So, wow. Yes, your story is so amazing. And I think about it because we've all had those silver fillings. I mean, I literally 3 months ago, just had one replaced, but I did go with the white composite, not knowing, but still, I mean, it's, wow, it's so crazy. And it makes you wonder, like, what impact is it really having on, and there's, it sounds like there's so little study done about this, but I mean, isn't that the case with so much of these things? And everything gets pointed back to stress. And I do think stress has a lot to do with a lot of the issues that we have. Okay. But how, I mean, going through that, how did that make you feel when you were saying, look, there's something not right. And they're telling you, it's probably this, or it's probably that. Like, then learning that, like, it was legitimately something that had obviously just happened to you. Like, what does that do to you? What did it fuel your fire, or how did you respond to that?
Well, I want to be completely authentic and transparent. Initially, I was scared to death. worried I was going to be in a wheelchair because that's what the neurologist told me. He said, probably about 5 years, you know, 5 or 10 years, you're looking at a wheelchair. And my kids were 2 and 3 at the time. They were 2 and 3. So we were so active with our kids and just did everything with our children. And I remember looking at my husband saying, what are we going to do when we're trying to get to baseball games or soccer games or whatever it is they end up doing? And I can't walk. He said, we're just going to load that wheelchair up and we'll go. If that's what we're facing, we will make it work and we'll just take you wherever we're going. But thankfully, a wheelchair was not in my future. And yay. But initially, very, very frightened, very scared. I had just left full time my insurance benefits with CBS News, you know, this network correspondent job. And my husband was starting a new business. And oh, by the way, the basement flooded. And oh, by the way, someone hit our car. I mean, it was just one of those times in life where it just seems like, oh my gosh, what is next? But we just hunkered down and got through it. And I think my journalistic background and my faith both joined forces. Mm-hmm. And God led me on a path to explore the origin of these sudden neurological issues. You know, if you're fine completely, and then the next minute you're not, what triggered that? What was the impetus? What started that? And, you know, we were at church one day and this guy went in from church, just said, hey, you know, I know you've got this health thing going on, but I don't know much about it. My brother lives in Indiana and he's a holistic doctor and he works with people who have some neurological issues and it has something to do with their dental fillings. Do you have any of those silver fillings? And I had already wondered if that had something to do with it because that was the only thing that had changed within my body, within this time frame. And when he said that, it was like, I just got this affirmation. I got chill bumps all over. And I came straight home from church and I just started, you know, doing research, do what journalists do. I've researched, I found other people who had been cured of this. I found one woman in particular. She outlined exactly what she did to detox and get well, called her up. She told me what to do. I followed exactly what she did to the T. I got the fillings out using a very specific protocol. It is the International Academy of Oral Medicine and Toxicology protocol, where you basically go into a dentist who has hazmat gear on and you do too. And it is a very long process and it's all out of pocket. So that was 10 grand right there. Just the elective dental work. But within just a day or so of getting the fillings replaced with the white ones, I would say 50% better. Some of the pinpricks had stopped. I was twitching. I just had all these weird neurological twitches, like just my head would jerk and my arm would jerk and it was bizarre, but everything just started calming down and I was jerking less. I was, you know, I was less of a jerk. Yay. There's the silver lining. And so, you know, I would notice it, especially when I would lay down to go to sleep because I'm trying to settle, but my body's jerking. And, you know, once I got those fillings out and I just felt my body was just relaxing a little more. And you know, I also came to find out that they have an electrical charge in them too. So there was, it's, you know, and they're 2 inches from your brain. Yeah. Right.
Right. Yeah. That's right.
So, and it was just a slow process after that. It just, kept putting one foot in front of the other, got, intravenous chelation. And that basically draws heavy metal out of your system, anti-inflammatory diet, which I'm still on to this day. I do cheat some, but try to stay away from gluten and dairy and, some other things, but yeah. And I mean, I would say my health is better today than it was when I was diagnosed with that. You know, you got to think at the time that happened, I was also coming off the road from being a traveling network correspondent for CBS News. And I was on the road 300 days a year, eating out, staying in hotels, the wear and tear of all the travel. I was pretty well exhausted anyway.
Yeah, right.
And so, you know, it gave me a moment to kind of step back, research this, follow a path and see where it led. It was definitely a leap of faith because all of this alternative care is out of pocket. And, you know, at that time, my husband and I said, well, you know, what are we going to do if we try all this stuff and it doesn't work? And we just decided that's what we were going to do. So
it's interesting. It's an interesting word to call it alternative care, because it really wasn't an option. It wasn't an optional thing for you in any way. You're like, I have to do this because I can't live with what they're telling me is going to happen in the long term if I don't. Right. So it's interesting. I'm curious. You talked about your anti-inflammatory diet, which I fully support, because I do think there's so many health benefits to that. I'm like you, I don't always do really well on it, but I do try to follow it the best I can. But you talk about that, and I know that you work out and you're very active and you have teenagers, and so therefore you don't have a choice. You have to be active. But I'm curious, you also talk a lot about your spirituality, which I think is so important, because when we talk about our journeys here on Her Journey Told, we're really helping people, we're sharing stories to help people with their mental fitness journey. So what does it take? I mean, you went through a major trauma. So I follow Gabby Bernstein, and she talks about the big T and the little T, the big traumas and the little traumas. I would think this was a big trauma to go through what you went through. And I know your faith played a huge role in getting you through it. And I think spirituality is so important when we talk about mental fitness. But what else? What else did you do? I mean, I'm not going to say your faith that you needed any more than that, because I firmly believe that's, if you've got that, then you've got more than most people. But were there other things that helped you kind of overcome this?
I would say my faith was definitely the road. It laid the road in front of me. So, you know, once the person at church mentioned this, and I called his brother and he explained a little bit more about it. And then I started researching, and then that led me to one more person and one more person and one more person and what they did. And, you know, ultimately I ended up going back to one of first couple of phone calls that I made. And that was to the woman I mentioned earlier, who had been completely cured and had written an ebook. And I feel like, and she and I stay in touch to this day, I feel like God just put us together. He truly just led me where I needed to go, and didn't reveal the next step until I taken this first step of faith, you know, believing that this is what was the cause, understanding that this can be fixed. If we get to the root of it, why is your body attacking itself? What is in there that's agitating your body so badly that your own immune system is attacking the fibers in your brain and causing neurological short circuiting? Basically what was taking place. And it was mercury. It was mercury being stored in my brain and down my spinal column. And that's what was causing it. So, you know, once I took that step, that leap of faith, and got the fillings out and using the specific protocol, and then got a little better. And then I took the next step to chelation, which I was very scared to do. And, you know, and then the next step to, you know, the anti-inflammatory diet. And then you have to get to a point where you aren't fearful every day that it's going to come back and bite you. You know, every day for the longest time, I would wake up in the morning and I would get ready to put my feet on the floor and just, you know, hope that it didn't come back.
Right.
The weirdest thing, because I'm a runner. And so, you know, when this was going on with having trouble walking, you know, I couldn't feel the bottom of my feet, that there was no feeling in the bottom, just the bottom of my feet. It's a very strange sensation. Thankfully that all came back. It just goes to show that the body can heal from the inside out.
Right.
We're constantly regenerating new cells every single day. Things can be repaired if you get the wrong things out and put the right things in. And, I would say overall, this has just restored and strengthened my faith and restored my compassion for others and, you know, what they may be dealing with, whether it's something like this, whether it's a health related issue or something else.
How did you find that space and that passion to say, you know what, I need to talk about this, not just for me, but for others? Well, I think that was your motivator, right? I want to help others. But how do you get to the space? And I'm leading up to something. So I'm being a bit leading, because for me personally, I went through a trauma of losing a child to premature birth. And just like you, I was like, it's just something I didn't want to talk about, but I knew I could help others. And so I was encouraged by many people to go tell my story, share with other people who've been through similar stories. And I was like, oh, I really don't want to do that. But I learned that once I did, it actually helped me way more than I ever imagined it would to get through it. And not just seeing other people, you know, relating to the story and feeling like I'm not the only one, but it was such a release for me and it gave me a sense of power. I'm curious, how did you experience that same effect?
Yes. First of all, I'm sorry. I did not know about the trauma that you had been through as well. And I can imagine how you would want to just put that aside and try to move forward and be there for your children and, you know, just forge ahead and try to just keep putting one foot in front of the other. So kudos to you too.
Thank you.
I did not want to at all. There was no part of me that wanted to initially. Again, I will be forthright. I was scared it was going to come back. I was scared it was going to come back and bite me because they had given me this 5-year time span. You know, they do that in a lot of health things. So let's watch it for 5 years. If you reach the 5-year mark, then you're golden, you know?
Right.
And that was the same with multiple sclerosis. They said, well, you know, if you can get to the 5-year mark without having what's called another exacerbation, basically a big flare up where, you know, you can't walk and all these things happen, then you have a very good prognosis. So my goal was to make it to 5 years. So I really didn't want to talk about it. I was afraid it might hurt my potential for employment, depending on what I was going to do next. I was operating a small production company. I didn't want people to know. I was afraid they may not hire me, thinking I may not be dependable. You know, all these things that go through your mind as a female in the workforce. Sometimes we don't talk about things because we don't want to be, I guess, not considered for things, right?
Well, yes. And you're worried that it almost like it puts you in a vulnerable position and you have to worry about whether or not, am I going to be viewed as weak because I've experienced this or I've been through this? And it's real. I mean, that fear is absolutely real. And I think
it's very real.
And we don't talk about it.
I'm not a scared kind of person, but this scared me to death. I remember talking to some friends of ours who are doctors, and I said, I don't think I want to talk about this at all. I don't want anybody to know about this. You know, I just want to keep this quiet. Only just our closest friends knew. And they said, stuff happens to people all the time. It's going to be fine. You know, you're on the road to recovery. Talk about it. But back to your original question. So the only reason I ever decided to step out there with it is my husband kept encouraging me to do so because he saw the transformation. He saw a miracle right before his very eyes.
Right.
He saw his wife very, very sick, his vivacious, vibrant, you know, hard charging type A personality wife who never takes a break all of a sudden with a debilitating illness. And then he saw me gradually, once we started this road of what's known as alternative care, he saw me gradually get better, better, and better, and better. He kept seeing me come back.
Right.
Well, there's Stacy. She's coming back. Yeah. Here she comes. And once we got to a point where it seemed like we were definitely on the right track, he just kept saying, you have got to do something with this. You've got to tell people, honey. There are people out there who they're not journalists. They don't know how to research. They don't know how to ask the right kinds of questions. They don't know where to find the answers that they're looking for. They may have a hunch, but maybe they don't have the resources. Maybe they don't even have the internet. And so he kept encouraging me. And finally, I did a multi-part documentary on it. And from there, it took off on the internet. I had people calling and emailing multiple times a week and just asking more questions. It just turned me into an advocate. And I would try to lead them where to go. Now, I do want to say I am not a licensed medical professional. And all of this is considered experimental, or it was back then. I think a lot more people do it now. But you know, and I got to talk to these people and help them and lead them and find them a biological dentist where they live and help them, you know, on the path to healing, explain what an anti-inflammatory diet is, explain, you know, what kind of alternative doctor they would need to see, holistic doctor they would need to see to kind of get, help them clean up from the inside out. And it just became a calling, a ministry that I never really anticipated. And then I ended up getting asked to testify before the FDA because they were finally going to consider if this might, if these silver fillings, mercury fillings might be causing some neurological issues. So they went around to these town halls all over America, and I went to San Francisco and testified before them. And it was as if the more I talked about it, the more the fear went away, the more people I helped or was able to talk to and kind of counsel them and see some of them get better as well, the more it helped me. And I just knew I was on the right track. And, you know, my kind of my tagline on my website is be vigilant, be well. And that's what it's all about. You have to be vigilant. You have to take control of your own healthcare. If someone is telling you that this doesn't have a cause or they don't know why this is caused, that may be true, but you can always search around, look around, ask questions and see where it might lead. Because for me, it led to health, restored health. And I'm so thankful that I just took all of those scary, scary first steps. And there were a lot of scary first steps all along the way.
What advice would you give someone? And you just gave some great advice, but someone who, you know, maybe has just new diagnosis, scared to death, doesn't know what to do. What would be your advice on kind of how to power through and stay focused on getting healthier?
I would say for me, it's faith. And I don't want to trivialize that. But again, that is how I got well. God led me on this path to health and I simply followed it. And now I want to continue helping other people understand, you know, how they might also possibly get well too. For anybody with a scary diagnosis, I would say, you know, think of it as a marathon, not a sprint. It's a time of sometimes experimenting. Mm. You know, I made my home body a guinea pig and wanted to see what would happen. And, you know, to go in there and let somebody put a chelating agent in your body, EDTA or DMPS, and let it run through your veins for 3 straight hours, pulling mercury, hoping it's pulling mercury out of your body, not even knowing if it is, but that, you know, that took a lot of guts and so expensive too. Mm-hmm. If you do need alternative care, I will say one thing I learned at that time, again, we were in transition here in our home and my husband was starting a business and, you know, I had left, my job, and Care Credit is a great resource. I don't know if anybody watching this, but be sure to look into Care Credit. It is it's a way to pay for some medical bills. And for me, it was how I paid for the dental work initially. You can pay it over time. And so that was just a great resource. I would say get on the internet, and you know, there are a lot of cuckoos out there on the internet too, but
yes there are
but if you can try to look for bona fide studies on whatever it is that you're dealing with, so you can go to you'll be able to tell if it's from a hospital, if it's from an actual, you know, doctor or a medical person, you'll be able to tell what this study is and what it is that they're finding and if that might apply to whatever it is that you're dealing with. But I would say don't be afraid to explore alternative along with whatever conventional treatment you may need. And I'm not against conventional treatment at all. There's a place for all of it, I think. I think it takes the whole approach, honestly.
I completely agree. And we talk about that a lot on, you know, pivotal moments, and just there's so many alternatives to mental health, and you can't just settle on one. Medication isn't always the answer, but sometimes it is. So I totally agree with you. It's having the courage to explore and just be willing to take that chance and find out what works for you. Cause we're all different. Like you said, we all have a completely different genetic makeup. So what's going to work for you may be different for someone else. So I think we always have to keep that in mind.
It's about just turning over this stone, seeing what's under it, nothing there, go to the next one, you know, and just trying everything you can and seeing what works.
So I know you have a big passion for telling these stories and getting these stories out there. And as you say, righting the wrong and driving awareness. So what's next for you? Like tell us what's happening in your career today and how you're going to apply this going forward.
Well, I've been in the television news business industry for 32 years. I have no idea how that could be because I'm still 29.
Exactly. It's completely impossible for that to be true.
No, but I feel so fortunate to have had amazing opportunities in broadcast journalism. And I have just met incredible people all along the way. And I've learned so much from every single person I've ever met who's ever let me into their home to tell their story. And I have decided this summer to step away from TV news after 32 years. It has been just a tremendous career. I need a break. Yes. My current employer offered me a new contract. They've been just tremendous to me, but I just felt like it's time to step away. And I want to focus on all things hope, all things joyful. I'm probably not going to watch a newscast for a good 3-4 years. And that's my plan. But I'm certainly going to pick back up with my advocacy work as it relates to silver mercury fillings and autoimmune disease. I started on a book quite a while back. I'm on the 6th chapter. And, you know, life gets in the way and busy teenagers and, you know, career, and marriage and just all the things, volunteer work, but I'm going to pick back up with that. I'm going to finish this book.
Yes, and I love
it. Revamped my website within the last couple of weeks. It needed a little work. And I just look forward to helping as many people as I possibly can with this.
Well, that's amazing. I can't wait to see what is in front of you because you have, first of all, you've got so much passion and so much spirit. I'm like, she is so like the work you're going to do is going to be powerful and impactful. No doubt in my mind. And I think it's exciting. So I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait to see, I'm going to push you and we're going to get this book done. I say, you're going to do all the work. I'm going to hold you accountable to it.
Okay. You hold me accountable. I'll say one great thing that took place in 2020, it got overshadowed because of the pandemic, but remember I mentioned that I testified before the FDA. Mm-hmm. The FDA finally came out in 2020 and acknowledged the link between these silver mercury fillings and autoimmune disease, including MS. And
that is
and
huge.
Put a warning out. They put a warning out.
So finally.
That was huge. Yeah. I mean, huge. So I think picking back up with this advocacy work now is going to be even easier because you have a government agency which initially said, no, there's not a link, you know, even though there were plenty of studies out there which showed there were.
Right.
But now they're acknowledging that. And they say exactly what I just said, which I had been saying for 13 years. Some people are genetically predisposed. Some people have a genetic makeup, a different biochemistry, and they're not able to offload toxins, in this case, heavy metal and mercury. So, you know, that lends some validity to it, even though I already knew because I did the experiment on my own body and got well, but it just lends validity to it. I think the advocacy work will be even easier and well received, and I'll be able to reach more people and help them any way I possibly can.
I think that's awesome. And this just is such a testament to like believing in something and really pursuing it. And you can create change. I think oftentimes we feel like, oh, I'm just one person and it's just my story. But I mean, I know for sure these stories can be so impactful and inspire so many people and truly create change. So thank you for being an advocate and for sharing with us your story, because I just think we all need to learn how to be advocates for ourselves, especially when it comes to healthcare, because too often we just rely on what the medical professionals are telling us. And I'm not saying that they're necessarily wrong or anything like that. No. It's just
right.
They're not perfect. No one is. And they don't know really what's going on inside of you the way you do. So being able to advocate for yourself, I think, is so important. I'm curious, for those people who are listening today, how can they learn more about your story? Because there's a lot to this story. And I think it's so super powerful that I think people want to hear more about.
Yeah,
they don't want to wait for the book, by the way. But they will be waiting.
You know what? I'm done with deadlines. I'll tell you that. I'm done with deadlines. And TV news, you have about 10 deadlines a day. So I'm not going to put a deadline on this book, but I promise to get it done. I do want to say one thing before I get to your question. Mm-hmm. And as it relates to traditional medicine and alternative medicine. So I did both simultaneously for 5 years. And I want to make that very clear. I kept my neurologist. We have a great relationship. I told him everything I was doing over here, which was considered alternative. Every time I'd go back for my checkup, get another MRI, some of the lesions on my brain actually disappeared during that time period. He goes, well, those went away. So again, the body can heal. But he was very supportive. He said, well, I don't, you know, that's not what I learned in medical school. And I'm not going to try any of that on my patients. But whatever you're doing, keep doing it. It's working for you. So we just had a great relationship. I would never say anything bad about anybody in traditional medicine. I mean, we have tons of doctors who are friends. And so I just want to make that very, very clear. Okay, so my website is mercurymom.com. And it's been around for about 9 or 10 years now. Just revamped it recently. You can hop on there. There's a video section, so you can watch some of those long form pieces that I did on my journey. And then there's also a free link to a documentary. I didn't do the documentary. I was a participant in the documentary. My story was told in the documentary. And so you can watch that as well. Initially, you had to purchase the documentary, but the people who put it together felt so passionate about getting this information out there that they decided to make it free. Lots of resources under the resources section there. There's a way to contact me if you have more questions, or if you think that, you know, maybe this is something that could help you and your health or your loved one. So reach out, and I'll be available in my retirement from TV news to help you when I'm not writing the book.
Right. Well, we thank you for that. And again, it's mercurymom.com.
That's right.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for sharing your story with us today.
Yeah.
So incredible. And like I said, your energy and your light is so powerful. I can't wait to see what you do going forward.
Thank you so much, Sandy. It's just been a pleasure to be on the podcast today. I'm a big fan of it. And I just love the hope that you're pushing out. Keep doing it.
Well, we have opportunities, and we hope to see you more on our podcast and other places too. So we'll have to talk about that at another time.
Let's do it.
All right. Well, thank you again. And for those of you who are listening, you're listening to the Her Journey Told podcast, powered by Pivotal Moments Media. And you can look for this episode and others on Apple and Spotify and other places you find podcasts. Thanks. You've been listening to the Her Journey Told podcast, powered by Pivotal Moments. For more inspirational content, go to pivotalmoments.org. I'm Sandy Lutton. Thanks so much for joining us. Make sure to keep an eye out for more episodes where podcasts can be heard. See you next time.